Boy, it's been such a busy couple of weeks that that it's neat to just kind of have a normal Sunday. That's kind of what goes through my mind as a preacher who kind of gets involved in a lot of different things that are going on. But we look forward to next week, don't we? Mother's Day, and that's a special time. The Lord says, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, right? That it will go well with you in the land that you're going to inherit. And so it's just right that we do that. It's something proper, appropriate that we do that. And we also went through this Easter, Palm Sunday, and Passion, and Easter, Good Friday, and Easter. And we got to celebrate all these things. And after Easter, Jesus hung around in the world, in this earth, for about 40 days before ascending. And during that time, he gave the church further instructions. One of these things is, what are you supposed to do now from here on? Now that I'm going to depart, now I got work for you guys to do. And Jesus gave his disciples a mission. And, you know, behind the scenes, one of the things that we have, your leaders have been looking at for some time is, what is our mission here at West Oahu Christian Church? And we continually look at that, by the way. This is not the first time. Other leaders in other times, other decades, throughout the decades, have continued to revisit this, which is appropriate. We always need to revisit that mission. What are we about? And we are at a place right now where we've been talking about that. We have been evaluating that. And we decided on something that we think will be really useful for us. And the title of the message today is The Mission of WOCC, and it's SEED, S-E-E-D. And it's based on chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Acts 1:8. What is a mission anyway? A mission can be something really simple, or it can be something really complicated. It's really anything we are sent to do, right? So it can cause us to stretch, or it can cause us to just kind of be mundane about things. Well, I have a mission to wash the dishes. Or I have a mission to go to the moon. I have a mission to help heal this person. Let's say you're a doctor or something, you got to take care of this person. Or I have a mission to study a degree, to get a degree. And all of these things are types of missions, if you will. Rick Perry said, I've always believed that mission is greater than the man. And the mission is something that we have to do, and what it does is it calls us to respond to that mission. Likewise, Jesus Christ has given his church a great mission, a very great mission. And in order to be his good and faithful servants, which he would like to call us that on that day, we have to fulfill that mission. And so his church must keep Jesus' mission in mind. We really ought to do that. We don't always do that. Sometimes we get off track, but when we do, we want to keep coming back to that. So since it's been a couple of months since we decided on this mission statement, today I'd like to bring the whole of WOCC, our church, the mission statement that our leaders have discussed and agreed upon. And there are really three things I'd like to talk about today. First of all, why is mission important? Secondly, the mission Jesus Christ gave to the church. We want to just talk about that in general. And finally, our mission statement, WCC's mission statement. So kind of like three parts in this sermon today. So will you join me in prayer? Let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, thank you for calling us to yourself. We know that you're involved in the work in the world. You're always working in the world. And Lord, the fact that you call us alongside to use us in your work is an honor and a privilege. I pray, Lord, that we would see that participation with you is just such a high call, and that we would find great joy and fulfillment as we serve in this capacity of being not just your children, but your servants. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yesterday, Amy and I went to Costco. And that's not so out of the ordinary. The main reason we went to Costco was to buy toilet paper. We weren't completely out, praise the Lord, but we were getting low, and so we needed to go to Costco. And so we went to Costco and went there, parked the car, and went in the store and got the wagon, shopped around, put some few things in the wagon, got some yogurt. There's some shirts on sale. I got a couple of shirts for $7.99 or something like that. And I thought, that's wonderful. I get to have new shirts. And we bought a few other things, bought some batteries. You always need batteries, right? Got to get batteries. And so... And then we went and made our purchases, and then we went back to the car, loaded up the car, and of course, if you're at Costco, you kind of have to load up the car fast, right? Because the car is waiting for you. And so we load up the car, and we start going, and as we're heading home, Amy said, "Oh, we forgot something." What do you think she forgot? We forgot the toilet paper. So it's good that we can laugh about some things that we have that are small enough, right, that we can laugh over. But, you know, it's like that, isn't it? We need to keep our mission central. And if sometimes we have to go through extra measures, I don't know about you, but I have this little note app in my phone that I write down in my shopping list. We got to get this, 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 this. And I walk around with my phone like this in the store, and I'm on a hunt, really. Okay, so I make sure I hunt. Then I think, is there anything else I can buy? Is there anything else that's fun to buy? I don't really need it, but sometimes it makes it feel good just to buy something, right? Got to be cheap, though. But so we need to keep our mission central in what we do. And the reason for that, there are a number of reasons we need to do that, lots of reasons, but I just want to touch on a few reasons here, that we need to keep our mission central because it focuses direction. It focuses direction. If you have your notes, you can refer to that. Keeping mission central focuses our direction. If you're like probably the rest of us, we tend to get off track. In every organization, the lack of mission clarity causes you to expend energy and resources on things that are off track, are off mission. And when you're off mission, then you're just kind of like spinning your wheels, and you go back and you ask, did that do anything? How did that really help us? When mission is not central, we can be like this story of these loggers that were working hard in the forest. They're chopping trees, they're lifting up the logs with a lot of energy and equipment, and they're moving it away, and then somebody decides, I'm going to go up. The supervisor goes up, and he goes in this lift, and he looks out into the forest, and after looking around in the forest, he says, "Wrong forest!" Oh, what a bummer that is, huh? So as we focus our overall mission, it focuses our direction. It helps us make decisions about a lot of different smaller goals. And we have to ask questions like, does this little thing we're doing, does it help us accomplish our mission? Or is it just busy work? And the reason this is important is because one day we're going to go to the Lord, and He's going to ask us, what did you do with what I asked you to do? So scattered activity, as we know, is less effective, and it really overworks people. It overworks those who serve in the church, and it spreads people too thin. There's a quote that's well known, and it goes, the main thing is to keep the main thing... The main thing. Okay, some of you knew it. Some of you are guessing it. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. While it's really obvious, it's not so easy to do. But keeping mission central focuses our direction. Secondly, keeping our mission central unites people. It brings people together. Working toward a common goal brings people together. So whether you're playing fun games and you have little teams that you form, maybe it's at a picnic, or whether you're going to be saving people from floodwaters. Having a mission unites people. It brings people together. I remember we have these picnics at these Okinawan picnics, and you form these teams, just random teams, and then you have to go and you got to run down there, and you have to spin around or pound nails into the wood, or you have to roll this wheel along, and then you have to come back, and everybody's cheering for their team, and you rub shoulders with people you don't really even know. And by the end of that, you're kind of celebrating together if you win. And even not, you kind of celebrate together. But then you get to know each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins the book by talking about the high calling that the Corinthian church has received. He says they're so enriched in many ways. They're gifted. They have fellowship with Jesus, and then he encourages in this, 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, let's read that together. Ready? Go. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Then he goes on, really kind of from there, almost to the rest of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, talking about division after division after division after division and problem after problem. And so, but this is the heart that Jesus Christ has for us, to walk in agreement and unity. And really the triune God is an image of that, what we're trying to emulate. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all in one accord. We don't see them arguing or debating about things. And so they're an example for us. Now we fall short, of course, and that's why we kind of have to hammer things out in the everyday life here. But when we lose sight of our highest purposes, we engage in petty disagreements that appear more important than they really are. And sometimes that derails our direction. And it can even derail the message of the church. When people see us, outsiders see us squabbling, disagreements happen everywhere, okay? But when outsiders see us squabbling and things like that, they say, well, what kind of church is that, you know? But imagine being on a battlefield and you're about to engage the enemy. Who's going to say to their fellow soldier, I don't like your manners at the mess hall? Who's going to say to their fellow soldier, I don't like how you hang your clothes and bullets are whizzing by? So what it does, the high mission actually allows you to put away lesser things and to continue to pursue the things that are most important. I remember years ago, there was a church camp that I went to, and at Camp Erdman, and they have this thing called the low ropes course. You ever been on a ropes course? This particular one is they have these ropes that are set up, and you have to do these things, sometimes balance on it, it's like an obstacle course. They have this thing, a wall you kind of have to get over and help one another over. Who should go over first? So the big person, a small person? And you have to figure this out. You have to talk with each other and try to collaborate on how to do this. And it is one little thing, a platform smaller than this, and you have to fit like 7 people on it. And you have to figure out how you're going to do that, right? And so you have to talk to each other. Next thing you know, when you go to lunch, you're talking to them, people that you really didn't know maybe that well. And it united people. Mission unites people. The church also has goals. We have goals to accomplish, and we have obstacles to overcome. Sometimes we handle it well, and sometimes not. And if not, we're not new. This has been the case since the church began. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Galatians 5, 14, 15. I put 2 scriptures on the wall just so that we can kind of compare these 2 things. To the Galatian church, Paul says, let's read that together. Ready? Go. The entire law is fulfilled in a single decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Well, it's kind of a creepy thought, yeah? You eat each other up and you both disappear. Okay, anyway. Philippians 1:8. Okay, ready? Let's read that together. Ready? Go. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. The context of the Philippian verse here is he's actually talking about people who are preaching the gospel, trying to get Paul into trouble, and their motives are not really the best. And yet Paul's view of the mission was so high. After all, he had seen the Lord, and he knew the power of the Lord's work in people's lives. He came to a place where he said, you know what? Even if their motives are not perfect, even if it's false, the main thing is that Christ is preached. That's the main thing. In his mind, the main thing was to keep the main thing the main thing. And so the Apostle Paul, is the Apostle Paul okay with bad motives? Of course not. But he kept the mission central, and he stayed on the same side as other people who were preaching the gospel. Did you catch what I just said? He stayed on the same side as others who were preaching the gospel. So keeping the mission central focuses our direction. Keeping mission central unites people. And finally, keeping our mission central improves success. Let me give you some examples of missions gone awry. Kodak. How many of you heard of a company called Kodak? If you've ever taken pictures in the past, Kodak was everything, right? Don Strickland, who's a former VP, said, reflecting back on Kodak, he said, "We developed the world's first consumer digital camera, but we could not get approval to launch or sell it because of fear of the effects on the film market." Kodak, in the end, was less about taking pictures than they were about selling film. Xerox. Did you know that Xerox invented the PC? If I asked you who invented the PC, who would you have thought it was? Bill Gates, Microsoft? It was Xerox. The CEO, David Kearns, was convinced that the future of Xerox was in copy machines. It was in copy machines that sat on your desk, or a big one that sat on the floor, not in communication or image reproduction. So Xerox lost market share. Atari. Young people, you ever heard of Atari? They have heard of Atari. Okay, very good. Atari was a technical innovator. It was just so innovative in their day. But it ended up focusing on distributing licensed games. You know, games, right? They distributed licensed games rather than giving people access to gaming. And as you know nowadays, access to gaming is what it's all about. And so they went downhill and eventually vanished. So we can see, clarity on the mission can make or break an organization. And the same thing is with the church. If we say, well, that doesn't apply to the church, yes, it does. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus Christ had commendation for some churches, but he had criticisms for other churches. We can get off track. Just because we're called the church doesn't mean that everything we do is in alignment with the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is nothing new. But our leaders want to be sincere about how we're heading down the road. And so without a clear mission statement, you can't even evaluate your present course or make mid-course corrections. So as you know, an airplane starts off in a certain direction. It starts heading in that direction. But it constantly makes mid-course corrections. Every so often, you'll hear the pilot say, we're going to have some turbulence here. So we're going to either go higher or go lower. We caught a jet stream, 100-mile-an-hour jet stream, so we're going to cut our time by 1 hour. I heard that recently in one of the air flights I took. And so they're constantly reassessing their path to get to their destination. So regular evaluation helps improve success. Keeping mission central focuses our direction. It helps to unite people, and it improves our success. It improves the well-done, good and faithful servant that Jesus wants to give to us. So what is this mission that Jesus Christ gave to the church? We actually talk about mission with a fair amount of regularity, and there are two scriptures that encapsulate and summarize the overall mission of the church best, and that's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Acts 1:8. So let's go ahead and read that together just to kind of get a background and get a sense of this of this overall mission that Jesus Christ gives the church. Ready? Go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Acts 1:8. Ready? Go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, just want to highlight a few things out of these two statements here. Go and make disciples. Go and baptize, go and teach obedience. Go and make disciples. By disciples, we mean people who are adherents, followers. We do not mean converts. Converts is the one first necessary step. But it doesn't mean converts. It means followers. And then there's people who have changed the direction in their life. They're going one way, and then they turn to Jesus, and then they start following Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. And just as we receive the message today because of faithful people who have passed the message down to us, they've passed that baton down the generations. Likewise, we want a future generation to say of us that we also passed the baton down to the next generation. In the end, the question is Jesus going to ask, did you make disciples? Did you make disciples? Oh, I read the Bible 50 times. Did you make disciples? I pray 3 hours a day. Did you make disciples? Well, not necessarily, no. So it could be yes, but I help on church cleanup. Did you make disciples? I attend a Sunday school and small group worship service. Did you make disciples? Now, all of those things are good, aren't they? Read the Bible, pray, and be involved in fellowship, and contribute to cleaning up. Those are all good. Did you make disciples? Next is to baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, there's water baptism, which is a ritual, outer ritual. But even that has deeper significance. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our following Him in that. So by being baptized, we're saying, we're following you, Lord, in your death, burial, and resurrection. But it's a little bit more than that, even in this verse, because Jesus says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it doesn't mean that when you're doing water baptism, you say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's it. That doesn't mean that. Now, we say that as a verbal acknowledgement of what we want to do. But really, it's an immersion. The word baptize is the word baptizo in the Greek, and it means to immerse. Immerse people in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if I were to just put in today's language, it means really get to know God. So disciple people, make disciples, help them to really get to know God. And finally, teach obedience. Teach them to obey the things I've commanded. Now, it's about obedience to Christ. It's not about how much you know. Wikipedia will have more information than you and I ever will, but Wikipedia will never obey Jesus Christ. It isn't even how much you do, because it's quite possible that what you do, you're doing it because you want to do it, not because Jesus wants you to do it. It's about obedience. Obedience says, Lord, you want me to do this, and I will respond to you. That is what obedience is. We teach obedience. We teach a response to Jesus. That means we're helping people hear Jesus and take those steps that are needed to obey. He calls us into a relationship, and that's called our walk with Christ. And Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's His very presence with us. So on to our church mission. So as we talk about our church mission, our leaders went through these verses, and we want to boil down, what does it all come down to? And we first wanted to ask, In addition to knowing what the substance is of the mission of Jesus Christ, we wanted to make sure we encapsulated the substance of that mission in a statement that is clear, memorable, and focused. Clear, because it's going to be easy to understand. Memorable, so that people can easily recall it. And focused means it's not overly complicated. So prior to this, people would ask, you know what the mission of Jesus Christ is? And we have a mission, not Jesus Christ, of the church is, and we have a mission. And it's on certain publications, certain documents we print, but nobody could remember what it said. And so we thought, we got to make it a little simpler than that. So someone came up with a suggestion. Let's use the acronym SEED, S-E-E-D. We thought about that. We thought, wow, that's a great one. And first of all, it connotes somebody who's scattering stuff. Out of the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about someone who is sowing seeds, good ground, bad ground, weedy ground, birds come around, rocky, it doesn't matter. We're going to be sowing seeds. And that's the idea that God spreads his seed everywhere in the world. And we want to be about doing that as well. So our mission statement is like that. It first of all says, we want to scatter seed everywhere. What does this mean? Going more into it, what does that mean? And I'm going to tell you what the letters of S-E-E-D are this. Share, empower, encourage, and disciple. You can write that in your notes, because that's going to be really hard to remember. You're going to have to resort to that, put that on your refrigerator, and remember that, okay? Share, empower, encourage, and disciple. Share, that's where it all starts, right? Be my witnesses, he said. Go. Sharing the gospel is the tip of the spear. There's much more to discipleship, but that is the tip of the spear. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have in of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As disciples, we are the one who are sent. And so we are the ones who scatter seed. So that's the first one, share. Second one is empower. Empowering people involves lots of things. I'm just going to share a few very, very important, the highest, most important things. First of all, we empower people by establishing foundations of God's Word in people's lives. God's Word is pure milk. It starts us off when we're babies, and it goes to solid food. It continues to nourish us until we're mature. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word is imperishable seed by which we are born again. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. And we are born again by that imperishable Word. And that's why the Word is so critical. Secondly, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit inspires. By the way, the word Spirit is the word breath. It's really the breath of God. If you want God to breathe in you and through you, that's what we're talking about. God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and abilities. The Holy Spirit brings comfort and he counsels us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we pray. The Holy Spirit convicts the world so that making people feel, sense the guilt of their sin does not fall to us. That falls to the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to beat people up. And finally, empowering people by training and instructing people. This is really just common sense. It could be in spiritual gifts, could be ministry skills. We have training anywhere from ushers, music, Sunday school, we're teaching people the Bible, mentoring, seminars, workshops, every manner that we can. We want to empower people by training and instructing. So that's the second E, empower. The second E is encourage. Encourage means to put courage into. Our journeys can bring a lot of hurts. We can get discouraged. We can get fatigued. We can get stressed. How do you get back up when you're worn out, after you've been worn out? There are lots of things we can do. Let me just offer these words from the Apostle Paul for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 2 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul charges Timothy to serve the Lord in the spirit of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And all of these have a strong sense of mission. A soldier has a mission. Athlete has a mission. And a farmer has a mission. So we can become faint and weary as we go along. But Paul encourages Timothy with these words. In 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13, he says, "When you get tired, Timothy, worn out, remember Jesus Christ. Remember him risen from the dead. Remember that the word of God is not bound." And he says, "I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation." We need to encourage one another with the right kinds of words at the right time. So we have share, empower, encourage, and finally, disciple. Disciple, we're using as an action, as a verb, not a noun in this case. Disciple is to make disciples, if you will. We want to be used to help people learn how to follow Jesus, and that's really all it means. We want to be those who make disciples who make disciples. It's like duplicating yourself, except that it's not cloning yourself, okay? Everybody has different gifts, different personalities, and things like that. But we can help somebody know how to share with somebody else, how to help somebody else. And that's what we're talking about here by disciple. So at West Oahu, what we're looking at here is we want to scatter this seed everywhere we go. We want to scatter being able to share the gospel, empowering, encouraging, and discipling others everywhere we go. So is that pretty simple? S-E-E-D? Can you remember that? S-E-E-D. I'm going to give you a test in 3 seconds. Okay, look at your notes for 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's it. So here's a test. What's the S stand for? Good, very good. Okay, what's the first E stand for?
Empower.
Empower. All right, young minds have the really fast over there. Okay, what's the second E stand for?
Encourage.
And what's the D stand for? Disciple. There you go. And as the band comes up, I'm going to close with these thoughts here. John Piper said, "Mission is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is the ultimate goal of the church. Mission exists because worship doesn't." What he means is that there are people in the world who do not yet know Jesus Christ, who have not yet found their rightful place as worshipers of Jesus Christ. And so we engage in mission so we can bring people into that rightful relationship with Jesus so they can worship him too. Whitney Prattney said, "God is looking for willing hearts. God has no favorites. You do not have to be special, but you do have to be available." Will you join with us in embracing Jesus' mission of sowing seed everywhere? Let's say yes to the Lord's mission for his church. Let's go together to share, to empower, to encourage, and to disciple people. Lord, help us to follow your directions. Help us to unite together. Help us to increase our success by keeping your mission central. Father, we have received an incredible love. We understand it, and we want to share it. Lord, your love is awesome, and we want that love to go out into all the world. So now, God, we come to you and ask for your help. We exalt your name, Lord. We bless you, and we want to bless you individually, as groups of people, and as a church. Thank you, God. Help us to do that. We can only do it according to your Spirit. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.